Hey, listeners and friends of Organized and Productive, the podcast. Welcome to our next episode. This week, we've got a special guest, Dr. Jackie Black. She is a relationship expert, marriage educator, and board certified coach to couples. And she believes that she can make every day feel like you're on your honeymoon. So why are we interviewing Dr. Jackie Black on an organizing and productivity podcast, you ask? Well, if you remember last year, we did something similar. But basically, here on the podcast, we like to approach all the different angles that are related to organizing and productivity. Sometimes they're very straightforward and related to what perfect bin should you get for your closet. Sometimes it's about decluttering. Sometimes it's about family dynamics. Sometimes it's about what are the best digital tools that you should be using, what's hot, what's not, and all of our top tips, right? But sometimes we talk about the emotional piece of it and also the relationship piece of it that gets affected when you are in your organizing journey and productivity journeys. And this one in particular has to do with living with someone else that may or may not be on the same journey as you are. Again, we try to do and touch this subject at least once a year so that you have the resources that can help you if that is part of what is happening. Maybe there's a disconnect. Maybe you feel like you're more tidy. Maybe you feel like you have been on this decluttering journey, but your partner has not. Or maybe you're on the other side of that where you're not ready to let go, but your partner is. This is especially true when you have life changes. They could be anything from new marriages and or divorces or death in the family. Maybe your children have moved to a different chapter in their life. So sometimes the partners may or may not be on the same space or same page, and that can contribute to not having a cohesive goal with your organizing journey. So that is why we invited Dr. Jackie Black. I met her a couple of years ago through a mutual friend on the interwebs, a very close friend of mine. She has a community of women who she supports, and she introduced me to her, and I just love the way that she discusses the relationship piece of couples and partners, and so I thought she was a perfect person to come on and talk about this with all of us. So what she will be doing is, so as you all know, we just get straight to the conversation, right? So this is the introduction to who she is, and all of her information is over on the show notes. So if you want to follow along while you're listening and you want to check her out and just kind of see what she's all about, her information is in the show notes. We are basically just touching up on some of how to approach a partner that may or may not be on the same journey with you in your organizing journey, some top tips that she has. And again, we do talk about both sides, where you might be the person that is on an organized journey. Maybe you're a minimalist and your partner is not, but we also talk about it when you're on the other side where your partner is that one person and you're not ready to engage in that. So there is no blame discussion here. We just talk about the dynamic and conversations that could be helpful to you with your spouse, your partner, the person that you live with. So enjoy the episode. Here we go. Welcome to the Organized and Productive Podcast with the Organized Flamingo. I am your host, Stephanie, a professional organizer and productivity expert. Ready to explore the right organizing and productivity solutions for you? Yeah? Well, then let's go. Hi, Dr. Jackie. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so excited that you're here. As our audience knows, we get right into the nitty-gritty of the conversation. All right, so you work with relationships a lot, and in people and couples and partners,
right?
What is the relationship between stuff and ourselves and the relationship? Like, how does it all work together? Why are we talking about this and why is it important?
Right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to be here and talk about this. This is very important because people's stuff is very important to them, or it's not important at all. It's so funny that it doesn't really, there's no middle about this. So I want to break it first into three buckets that I want people to consider: values, style, and temperament. And the reason I want to talk about value, style, and temperament when it comes to stuff is that those things are pretty fixed. If you're a minimalist, You've been a minimalist as a kid, and you probably had all your underwear by colors in your drawer folded. Okay. And if you are a collector or you think about, I worked for a CEO of a multinational company, and he shared a little space between the two big offices. And you could see which side was Eric's side because the papers were all over and on the floor and was called the Snoopy room or the Mickey Mouse room. I can't remember. And Barry's side of that little space was neat as a pin. But the thing about Eric, and if you walked into his office, they had these gorgeous offices. He had stacks of paper all along the window lines. And the thing about these stacks of paper is if you came into the office, if I came into the office and asked him a question about a deal, he went right to the top of the stack, the middle of the stack, the butt. He knew exactly where everything was. So I want to talk about value, style, and temperament, and I want to talk about non-judgment of your partner, like no judging, no blaming, no inaccurate attributions, because those of us who are minimalists and ultra, ultra neat, I just want to own that. We could easily make attributions about messy, lazy, mindless. Right, I won't go on. You all know who you are out there, and you know the judgments that you make. When you're in a relationship, you can't do that. First of all, it's not accurate because we go back to talking about value, style, and temperament and the way people live in space. And it's not going to change too much. There are ways, and we could talk about that in a minute. There are ways that you can ask for changes around certain things. But pretty much, you really want to understand how people live in space and decide for yourself if you're dating, if that works for you, that's a fit for you. If you're married and you've been married for a long time, and this is a bone of contention, or there's stress or strife or upset or arguing or worse around it, I hope that you'll get some insight from this conversation so you could take a step back, take a deep breath, and relax and really do some soul searching so that you can come up with some things that are really important to you. Because people are different. And when we focus on the differences, we miss the stuff that is aligned, and we miss the stuff, the uniqueness that we love so much, that yumminess that caused us to fall in love with each other in the beginning.
How permanent are these attributes, or how is it that do you come into a relationship? Do you see this often where people's value, style, and temperament are pretty set, and you shouldn't need or want to change them? Is that how permanent or not, or moldable are those attributes?
Not very. As we get older, sometimes our values shift, or one drops off and another one becomes important. But they are pretty static, and we must not expect people to change. We just can't expect people to change.
Yeah. And we see this a lot too, with bringing other people's stuff into your area. And now it's become yours, whether it's from a loved one that passed. So, how do outside influences, in this case, outside stuff that maybe you did not start off with as a relation in the relationship, how does that affect what you're talking about?
Honestly, I'm going to say two things about that. I had clients who were middle-aged and they got married. And he had two, the way she tells it, he had two white plastic chairs. They were leather. They weren't a fine leather. They were white. They swiveled, had high backs and arms. She hated them. And she used to talk about them as the plastic chairs, which I invited her to really think about stopping because it was so unkind and so hurtful. And he knew that she hated them. He loved them. He had his orange juice in them in the morning and watched the weather. He read the paper. He read books on the weekends. He put his feet up. There was an ottoman. He loved them. They were his chairs. He'd had them for a while. So they, when they sat down, after they'd worked with me for a while, they sat down together and they came to a point where they agreed that they really wanted each other to show up in the home, right? They wanted their home to be reflective of both of them. That took a lot of work, a lot of emotional intelligence. And so that they made this agreement, and I invite all my couples that are going through this to do this, make an agreement that if you don't both love it, you won't buy it. If you come with it, get massively curious. What is it about it? Tell me where you bought it. What was it? What's the story? Get people's story because you really love the person and you might hate the chair, but there might be such a sweet story behind the chair. Or in this case, there was so much of him when he was down, right? When he was relaxing, that made him very emotionally available to her. When he was sitting in these chairs. And so she was able to then take another look at the chairs. The funny end of the story is that when they actually moved into their home, all this was happening when they were in their separate spaces. When they moved into their home, he said to her, when they were talking about moving and the moving trucks coming, he said, I've decided that I'm not going to bring the white chairs with me. And she again stayed massively curious. She didn't cheer. She didn't, wasn't relieved. She said, what changed your mind? Tell me what happened for you. And that just deepens our connection when we can sort of bypass this stuff and it go deeper. I have clients and her mother recently passed away and she inherited big chests. And an armoire and a mirror that sits on the floor and all of that. So it all came over, got stuffed into their little condo. Then it was moved to the garage, but that wasn't good because she was afraid it would be damaged. And I suggested that they really sit down, that they look at the furniture and they decide, they tell stories that the woman whose mother passed away tell stories about the furniture. And what it meant to her, and how she wanted to use it. Nobody had ever thought about how they wanted to use it. You know, how do we want to incorporate it into our lives, into our stuff? And it turned out that she didn't want to get rid of it, and she didn't want to use it either. She was still in the place where she wanted to have it and honor her mother, but she really didn't want to take their chest in their bedroom out and then replace it with the mother's chest, right? When that became a question, well, what about would that feel good to use it in that way? And she said, no. We bought our bedroom for it. So do you see what happened? So when people are actually talking about what's going on inside, what's going on emotionally, and you take it off the plane of looking at the chair or the chest. There are so many possibilities. And that's one of the takeaways that I want people to have from this conversation, that it's not about the stuff. It's deeper and it's about the stuff, but you can get beyond it when you really focus on the person and the story and the meaningfulness of the stuff.
Oh, I love that. So if that is happening now on the other side of the partner, that maybe is observing that their other half is going through something. What would be some curious, tender phrases or questions that you would suggest? Of course, people can always reach out to you, and in your community, in your space, you have an abundance of phrases that you offer people to use in their relationships. But for this particular, when they want to start addressing it with someone, where whether it's because they feel like they have too much stuff, they're becoming just it's an abundant it's just too much for the other partner. What would be some tips or phrases that you would suggest that they could use to start approaching the conversation?
That's such an important question. So I have a client who's a minimalist, married to, of course, a collector. And not bad, not on the floor, but papers in his office, on his credenza, on his desk, you know, things laid up against the wall, that kind of thing. And so the way that she approached him was she said, I'd like to talk to you, not I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you about, always tell your partner what it is you want to talk to them about. I want to talk to you about what I consider, own it, I message feedback, what I consider a lot of stuff stacked in your office. And I can already tell when I'm just talking to you about wanting to talk to you, I can feel my mouth doing stuff and my eyes rolling. And I want you to know that I'm really trying because I want to have the most respectful, warm-hearted, vulnerable conversation we can have. And it's pretty charged for me. And I'd like to do this. Let's know that we're going to probably have two or three conversations. And let's keep them pretty short. You decide how long you want the conversation to be, and you let me know when you're available. Let's, I can, you know, you come in with your calendar. When can we set the first conversation? That lets the person know. So you're already coming in vulnerable. You're asking for vulnerability, but you're being vulnerable. You're owning that it's a big deal to you. You're owning your bias and the difficulty that you're, see, I'm still doing that, just thinking about, you know, paper stacked. But, and you want to own that there are some judgments, but you're not going to voice them. You're handling it, you're managing it. That's what adults do, right? And you're inviting a conversation. So what happened with this couple after a number of conversations, what he kept saying is, I'm not clear. This is my office. And I really want to understand what your need is around my office. You know, and he'd say, I don't have papers on the kitchen table. I don't have stuff stacked or strewn around our bedroom. And I'm really curious and I don't understand. So she said, that is really a good question. And you know what? I'm not sure. Let me take some time and think about it and do my own work around it. And then I'll come back to you. And she was so great. And what she realized was that when he was in the office, she didn't mind seeing this stuff because he was there. And it was all part of her experience of him. But when he took business trips and he was gone for a day or two or five, then it was overwhelming for her. She had no idea that that was the case until he really pushed back a little, asked her for more information about her. And he could easily agree to that. And he never left stuff out on his desk. He said, I'm going to need help. I'm going to need to know. Is it okay if these five binders are here standing up? You know, how do you really want it to look when I'm not here? He was so generous, so gracious. And so together, over a period of a couple of days, they figured that out before his next trip.
When it comes to those types of scenarios where it takes some time, let's one partner addresses the question and makes them twitch a little, and then there's a reply, and then the back and forth. How, just for our listeners, just to have an understanding, how long do these types of things sometimes take? Like, what would, is there a term, like, is there a date range where you would suggest, like, that might be a little longer, so let's get a professional involved. Like, how many back and forths of these, or what you just described, would you say is
Right.
formal, not formal?
After the, well, it's all negotiated because what's normal for me might not be normal for you. So it's all negotiated. So in this case, she knew that she needed to have a change before his next business trip. In other cases, you can say, I'd like to put a time limit on this. I'd like some resolution sooner than later. What makes sense to you? What makes sense to me is a week, 2 weeks, 14 days. I really need to have some understanding in the next day or so, and then we can execute on it. See, it really depends on what the need is. And when you start the conversation from a very open-hearted, vulnerable, respectful place, and you're not going to judge, you're not going to criticize, you're not going to make demands, you're not going to make inaccurate attributions, then all of a sudden, there are so many alternatives and options that open up. When you come already upset, then you're limited, severely limited. And your partner feels judged and not good enough or shamed. And nothing can grow, nothing can open up and shift in that kind of energy. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. If a listener is not ready to address it yet with their spouse and whatnot, what are some tips that you would have for them? Now, we have spouses and we have partners and people that are from both ends, the one that has the spouse that is different, and the ones that know that they are the one that they've been addressed on, for whatever reason. So what are some suggestions that you would have for both types of parties that they know that the stuff in their space is creating something, a something that is clashing. What would be some steps for them to take?
I would start with a deep dive personally and do some personal reflection. What does my stuff mean to me? And walk around your house and tell yourself stories about your stuff. How does it make me feel? What are my values? What's my style? How do I show up in the world? How do I show up in the relationship? How am I living in space? How is my partner living in space that's different? So start personal reflection and temperament. Temperamental differences always come up. We think about that as people being a morning person or a night person, or I can never be with anybody who needed to have 5 cups of coffee before they could talk. I open my eyes and my mouth at the same time, and I throw open the blinds. I love the sun. So temperamental differences come into play as well. After you do a deep dive, then think about what your best case is. You know, wave a magic wand and do some writing or some journaling or some notes on your computer. If I could wave a magic wand, what are all the things around this topic that I would want to change, and what changes would I want to have? So that you're arming yourself with personal knowledge, because we have personal knowledge and partner knowledge. My personal knowledge becomes my partner's knowledge. So the more I know about myself and understand about myself, the more I can help my partner understand me. We cannot choose, I mean, you can, but it doesn't work. So we don't want to, I'll say it that way. We don't want to die on every hill, right? We have hills we want to die on, but not every hill. So I'll tell you a cute story. Mark and I had moved into our condo, and we were there a couple of weeks. And one morning, he usually would get up, get dressed, and leave and go into his office first. And then, so, but I had an early client or something, and I came back into the bedroom for something. And he made the bed. And it was a mess. So two things happened. One, the first thing that happened, listen, I'm not happy to say this. The first thing that happened was I bristled, right? I was like, oh my God. The second thing was that I was filled with love and appreciation and yumminess because it was so thoughtful, and we never had a conversation about making the bed. I always make the bed. He used to say that if he got out of the bed to go to the bathroom, when he came back, the bed would be made. I didn't want to shame him. I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I didn't want to fix it in case he recognized that it was fixed. So I let 2 days go by, and I said to him, I'd love to talk to you. Oh, I said to him immediately as I left the bedroom, oh my God, that was so sweet. I just love you so much for doing, and he was beaming. He was so excited, and I didn't want to ruin that. That was so special. So 2 days later, I said, I want to talk about making the bed. And he said, okay. And he said, you're really going to want me to do that more often, right? I said, look, I love that you did that. It made my day and the next day. I feel so seen and so valued and so taken care of in so many ways. Here's what I would love. I would love it if you never made the bed again. And he laughed and I laughed and he said, I know it was lopsided and I couldn't get it. Blah, blah, blah. So we don't want to shame our partners. We want to value them and appreciate them. And then we really want to ask for what we want. And he never did. He never made the bed again, which was fine with me. It's my thing having the room look the way it looks, having the bed look the way it looks. So I'm not going to hassle and harangue him to do it my way. I'm simply going to do it. And this is such a big point. When couples talk about, you don't help, I want you to unload the dishwasher this way, I want you to do this or that way. If our partners are contributing and they're participating, then it's the contribution and the participation. It's the effort. It's the interest. It's the actual action that we love and value that means so much. If we don't like the way they're doing it, we can't ask them to do it differently. They are bringing their way. And if the thing that you want done, meaning the bed made, is more important than them making it and contributing in that way, then we have to own that. So the question is this my problem? Is this your problem? Is this our problem? There are many things that Mark did that were so sweet and so lovely that I didn't have that energy around that I had around the bed. And I loved that it was a reflection of who he was and how he moved in the world and in his life.
What I love about what you've said and the examples that you've placed is that it's almost the don't let the stuff get in the way of the conversations, which, the stuff ends up being that visual of what's probably behind the scenes of whatever you need to communicate. But what I love just of all this is that you're really showcasing that curiosity to get a little bit more curious. Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's been really fun to listen in on. What would okay, so we at the end of our the podcast and whatnot is because we could go on and on. I'm just right here just listening to her just give me all the tips. Not just the tips, but the things to think about. So I hope all our listeners are feeling the same way. All right, so before we start to unwind with our conversation, we always like to ask our guest three questions. The first question is, what would you like people to take away from this conversation? With the second being, if there is something that you really enjoy, is there a magazine or a blog or something, a periodical that you really enjoy reading? We'd love to hear what you like to read, what you like to what you're into, and then of course where people can reach you and find you.
So the takeaway, I want people to focus on each other as honeys, as sweethearts, as partners and cohorts, as teammates, and to make that the centerpiece of all the conversations, and to really trust that they will come to a place of agreement. Win, win, win. I win. You win, we win. And if all those things are not in place after any conversation, you're not finished. And you may need to have another conversation. I win, you win, we win. And when you're talking about living in your home, that you want both of you both want to be committed to co-creating a space that you both love, that reflects both of you, and that you're both comfortable in. The magazine, the first thing that came to my mind, growing up in Chicago and living in the desert for many, many, many years, and now living in the tropics, is Southern Magazine, Southern Living, I think it's called. I I just love the colors and it's just a way of showing up and being in the world that I love. So that would be my magazine.
Funny you say that about what this actually goes with our conversation. I think Southern living and that style also has a lot of history and a lot of that connection with other people that many times comes from relationships, but it just has that intertwined relationships, anyway, it's a conversation starter is almost so I can see why that's a, that I can see why you would feel connected to that magazine. Okay. All right. Well, where can people find you? Because there's way more of this that she has on her in her community and all her social media and all her different platforms. You should connect with Dr. Jackie. So where can people find you?
The website is the first obvious place, and that's drjackieblack.com. DrJackieBlack.com. That would be the first place. And then there are buttons throughout the website about let's talk, let's connect. Yes, I want this. And I really want to talk. I love to talk, and I love to talk to people about their relationships. And I don't enroll anybody in anything unless we have a conversation first. It's Zoom so that we can see each other. It's a little like being in I call it being in my Zoom office. So we'll click on that button, go to my online calendar, and if there isn't a time on the calendar, then email me, drjackie@drjackieblack.com. Let me know that you want to have a conversation and there's no times on the calendar, and we'll just take it off the calendar and exchange a few emails and find a time.
Oh, the personalization that you have is really nice, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And I don't charge for that. And I say it's 30 minutes. I'm so bad about time, because if I'm engaged in a conversation with you and I really want to help you or understand more, then it takes whatever it takes. That would be the second thing. The website, email me. Oh, Instagram. I don't love social media. I probably shouldn't say that. But I love my Instagram, and I didn't have an Instagram until I was active with Clubhouse. And Instagram really is the place that has the best of the best. It's highly curated. Every single thing that I say is a quote from my intellectual property. So it really gives you a sense of how I talk and what I think. And so my Instagram, and that is at Dr. Jackie Black.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, you know where to reach her. Dr. Jackie, thank you so much for your time. This was enlightening and so lovely. And again, we could have gone on forever and ever. So don't be
Thank you so
surprised.
much. Such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Organized and Productive podcast with the Organized Flamingo. If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you leave a rating and review on your favorite podcast player. It helps with letting people know that we're here. For full show notes and resources, head on over to theorganizedflamingo.com/podcast. Happy organizing!